Are you ready to look at some things in terms of maximising your money
Welcome
tonight?
Welcome to another C3 Church season. Rockingham podcast.
Let me give you a backdrop.
For more information about
who's
C3
not
Rockingham,
here this morning,
please visit www.c3r.org.au.
Okay, that's about 50%. So I'm going to maybe just go back and can we just get rid of the boom? I feel like I'm in the bathroom. I know, I'm sorry I threw a left one at you and put this on late, but if we can fix that, that'd be good. So let me give you a backdrop. So we launched Paradise or Prison this morning, and we've started to look at the three levels of influence, the three levels of kingly anointing that can come upon your life. We studied the life of David. He was anointed three times before he became king. He was first anointed around about age 15, 16. He was a teenager. He was anointed king without a throne for about 20 years. So the first anointing was at home amongst his brethren. And you've got to know that when God truly wants to anoint you, when it's not you initiating it or some soul initiating it, when it's God initiating it, he anoints you amongst your brethren at your home. House of God. And so that first place of anointing in Jerusalem there was in the lower plains. And then his next place of anointing was at Hebron. Hebron means place of association. And so the first anointing came upon King David's life when he had gone through the qualification of faithfulness in the natural things, faithfulness in work. And even after being anointed as king in that place as a shepherd boy, he continued to be faithful in work. And this is where most disciples miss it. They get a prophecy, they get a word of God spoken over them. The elders lay their hands and recognize a gift and an anointing, and then all of a sudden they are too anointed to wash toilets, they are too anointed to serve in the cafe, too anointed to serve on car park team, too anointed to wash to sweep the workshop floors, too anointed to be a trade assistant. All of a sudden now they are qualified. David didn't do that. He continued to be faithful in the natural things because the scripture says in Corinthians, first in the natural, then in the spiritual. Second place of anointing was at a place called Hebron. It was a mountain. It was the highest mountain out of all of the mountains. Actually, the third place of anointing was Zion, and that mountain was lower and easier to climb. But the highest mountain was Hebron. You never even attempted to climb Hebron without actually accepting that you were going to get hurt. There was going to be pain involved. There was no way you could climb to the top of the mountain, conquer that mountain, so to speak, without getting hurt. The second place of anointing is being faithful in relationship. And the reality is most people don't get to a place where they get the second kingly anointing upon their life is because they can't handle the reality of relationship. Wow. When their boss has an awkward conversation with them, they spit the chewy. And what do they call? They snatch their rent, we used to say. They just put in their resignation because they can't handle robust conversation. They can't handle adjust the way that you're operating there. The third place of anointing, Zion, we didn't get into it today, but I'll mention it tonight, is a kingly anointing that comes upon your life to lead with authority and rule an organization by way of unity, a unified force moving together. That's why the best CEOs in the world today, they are people that know how to lead a team. I would say this to you, if you have a dream that you can achieve on your own, you don't have a God dream. If your dream does not require a team, it's not a God dream. If you can do it all on your own, you're a self-made man. And I've never met a self-made man, never met a self-made man that's really impressed me. Think about that for a moment. So tonight, with that kind of backdrop, we're looking at this whole idea of maximizing our money. And I start off this morning looking at Proverbs 21, verse 5. Are you ready to go back there again? I'm in this teaching mode, so you're going to have to do a little bit of exercise yourself to staying engaged because I'm not really gifted as a teacher. I'm more of a pre-teacher. That doesn't mean I'm pretending to be a teacher, but when I teach, I normally preach, and you're supposed to just teach. Proverbs 21 and verse 5 says, good planning and hard work lead to prosperity, but hasty shortcuts lead to poverty. And you've got to know that if you want to short-circuit the process, if you do not respect the process, you will not enjoy progress. And so good planning and hard work lead to prosperity. I love that. That means if you work hard and work to a plan, you are going to prosper. No ifs, no buts, no maybes, you will prosper. Deuteronomy 8, 19 to 20 reminds us that if we forget the Lord our God and go off on our own way and worship other gods, bow down to other things, bow down to money, bow down to family, bow down to this, bow down to that, whatever it is, bow down to our flesh, then God will destroy our financial world. If you study it through the book of Deuteronomy 28, 8 and 28. And so I've heard people say in the past, I tithed and it didn't work. And when I dig into it with them, when I look back at the 21 years of history of teaching the principle of the tithe and seeing it working in my own life, it kind of bemuses me because I go, it works every time you work it. The word works for those who work it. And what I have discovered is some people think that tithing is an insurance policy against management negligence. In other words, they tithe and then neglect to manage their financial world and just think God's going to fill in that gap. But tithing doesn't do that. They also think that tithing is an antidote to dishonesty. In other words, I can go and engage in business, do a dodgy deal. It's all going to be okay because I've paid my tithe and bless God, he's going to rebuke the devourer for my sake. But he doesn't rebuke silliness, foolishness or dishonesty. That's your deal. That machine gun you've been pointing at the devil, you probably need to turn around. Tithing won't replace the need for good planning and hard work. You've still got to do the hard work. You've still got to plan. The key purpose of tithing actually is to open you up the window of heaven. I've just left a Sunday night meeting two Sundays ago where I preached a message on the drought is over, and unbeknownst to me, my pastor gets up after me, pulls an offering for his church that's been shortfalling in their monthly giving by a heap of money. And he feels inspired by God as a result of the message to receive an offering for his church. He doesn't say what it's for. He just says, I believe this is an anointed message God has brought, streams of income. If you want another stream of income, come and put 12,000 rand on the altar. 12,000 rand converts to $1,200. I'm sitting there going, I've been believing God for another income stream. But I just preached the message and I was there with 12,000 rand on the altar. People came from all over. He raised 506,000 rand in 6 minutes. And I'm thinking, that's a way to start 2 weeks away from home. Put yourself in $1,200 of seed faith. And so when I got back to my hotel that night, there was the butler guy that was cleaning the glass up the side of the balustrade of the staircase that I climb every morning. He was there doing something else, and I complimented him like I did in the morning when he was cleaning the glass. I said, doing a fantastic job, man, and got no response then. Got no response the second time. All meant nothing to me until I went to the gym the next day in the afternoon. I'm coming back from the gym, and here he is. He's polishing the stainless steel on the elevator, and I said to him again, fantastic job, man. You're doing a great job. No response, and it kind of felt like it might have been this black-white thing going on. He's a white guy giving me this complimentary compliment, this obligatory compliment. It doesn't really mean anything. That's what I've kind of felt. It could have just been me. That's what I felt. But as I'm standing there, Holy Spirit says, bless him, with a tip. I went, okay, Lord. Then I went, oh, you know how your fingers have eyes at that moment? As my fingers went in, I went, oh no, I've only got 200 rand notes. 200 rand's only 20 bucks, but you know, I've just given 12,000 rand in the one before. And as I've gone in, I go, oh, and I went, oh, that's what he said to do, I'll do it. I didn't even confer with flesh and blood. I just went in and I said, man, I really meant you're doing a fantastic job. I stuck 200 rand in. Oh, thank you, sir. It's amazing how a gift can change someone's response, hey? But it's also the Aussie deal of put your money where your mouth is. Don't just compliment people. You know, we don't have a culture of tipping people that serve you in a restaurant, but I tip people that serve me well in restaurants in Australia, hey, because it's such a rare thing. Because basically the service here is crap. In the last 6 weeks, I've made 3 phone calls to real estate agents about property. Left messages for them to get back to me. I've told them on the phone I'm interested in that property. Do you want to know how many real estate agents have called me back? And from what I understand right now, it's not easy to sell property right now. It's not like it's a really buoyant market and they're going off the listings like hotcakes. They're not going. Not one of those sales representatives have returned my call. Over the last 4 days, I've contacted about 4 different car dealerships, helping my daughter buy a car, and I've been into one. I am shocked. I mean, if I was in sales today, I would be kicking it out of the park. Listen, if you don't have a job, go and work for someone for free in sales and just give them the very best customer service. Just treat the person, the individual, like they're the most valuable person on the planet. Return their calls. Know your product. I'm telling you, you will, in Aussie terms, kill the pig. You will make a lot of money because... Does anyone else kind of experience this kind of stuff? No, it's like, for goodness sake. See, tithing is not an insurance policy against laziness. In fact, one of the first things that tithing will teach you is to be a good money manager, because all of a sudden you've got to work out what 10% is. And how you're going to do the 100% you need to do with the 90% that's left over. Hello, somebody. It's Psalm 112. It's our key verse for the next few weeks' theme. Psalm 112 verse 1 says, "Praise the Lord, how joyful are those who fear the Lord and delight in obeying His commands." It doesn't seem to make sense, does it? How joyful are those who fear the Lord and delight in obeying His commands? But it does make sense. Their children will be successful everywhere. An entire generation of godly people will be blessed. It makes sense that if you're going to live a godly life, you're going to be blessed, doesn't it? Come on, respond positively. Help me out. They themselves will be wealthy. They themselves will be wealthy. Do you know you have an inheritance to be wealthy, a promise to be wealthy? 8% of the world's population own a motor vehicle. That means right now, if you own a motor vehicle, you're ahead of 92% of the world. You're ahead of more than 6.2 billion people in the world. You're in the top 8%. True stat, haven't made it up on the spot, promise. Done my research, did my due diligence. So talking about maximizing money, let's go a little bit deeper into what I mentioned over offering this morning. Number one, if you're going to maximize your money, you've got to plan your work and work your plan. If you're not working to a plan, what are you working for? You say, but I'm just employee. Well, you know what? If you want to climb the ladder in your industry, if all you do is just be a very good plan ahead person, initiator, trust me, they will be knocking on your door for promotion every single time. And the best way to do that is plan next month, last month. That means always be a quarter ahead. Most years are broken up into 4 quarters in any organization. Targets are set according to those quarters. And if you plan the month ahead, the month before, you'll always be ahead of the game. In the early 80s, I think it was the late 80s, early 90s, this phenomena hit our planet in the modern world. They were called dinks. Does anyone remember what dinks were? Double income, no kids. Couples that were dinks, double income, no kids, they didn't have the plan in place for when kids showed up. So guess what they did? With their double income and no kids, they bought a great car, a great boat, a great house, filled it full of stuff. Some of it was on HP. And then all of a sudden, something out of the blue happened, something they didn't plan for. Oh my gosh, I don't know how it happened. I fell pregnant. I know how it happened. You say, what's this got to do with planning your work and working your plan? Well, it's all kind of really romantic just to fall in love and fall pregnant after you're married and stuff. It's all really romantic. Oh, we're just going to see how it goes. I don't know if we have kids now or later, but we haven't really worked out. But you know that a child born today, looked after, raised, middle-class family, to age 18, it's going to cost you at least, I think it's gone more than this, but last time I checked, it was $500,000. Geordie, that's $2 million for you. Because Because no one really wants to talk about it, but the reality is you've set your expectations at upper middle class or middle class, and even if it's just middle class or lower middle class, and I know you don't like to talk about classes, but the reality is you've set your direction there, but we haven't put a plan in place. You've got to know this. That's what it's going to take to raise that child, to feed that child, to educate that child, to provide hospital cover for that child, to do all the things you want to do, put it through music lessons, football, whatever. You've got to plan your work and work your plan. So when Dinks lost the income and suddenly became one income family with us two plus an extra one that poos like a machine. Those nappies don't get... I can remember when we first had our first child. I said to my wife, it was when like disposables were just coming on the scene. They'd been around a while, but I was against them because I was into the good old towel nappy things. and my wife thought, yeah, it's fine if you want to. So I made her go and buy all these like toweling nappy things before she came home with Anthony, and one trip home in the car was enough. She took off the nappy and said, here, go clean it out in the sink. Okay, let's do the disposable thing. But you know what was really driving my poverty mindset was how much it was going to cost to keep putting those nappies on that little cute table where they get changed. But you've got to plan your work and work your plan in whatever you're doing. If you will become a master planner in your place of employment, you've got to know management is coming to talk to you for good reasons in the future. Number two, manage your money before it manages you. And what I mean by that is save, save, save. When your income increases, don't raise your level of living. In fact, I would say when your income increases, don't raise your level of living, raise your level of giving, because that's going to maximize your potential at the highest level. Some of you will be skeptical about that statement because a pastor just made it. But if you could think about it from the place where you've experienced it and done it, it'll transform your life. Can I give you a quick breakdown of the four things you should do with your money? Four things you should do with your money. Number one, you should recognize the sacred portion of your money. That's your tithe. Number two, you should recognize the seed portion of your money. That's after generosity. That's generosity starts at 11%. There's no such thing as being generous while you're robbing God. In the context of what we're talking about, that we're looking for an increased anointing upon our life with a kingly anointing, recognizing there's three levels, recognizing like any other thing in our life, any other substance, it can increase, but it only increases as your capacity increases. If this is the first level of the anointing, then you can't put any more in this bottle once it's full. That's first level. Second level might be a cylinder as large as this table to the floor. Once that level is full, you can't increase the capacity of that vessel. The vessel's got to get larger. You've got to get larger in your thinking. You've got to get larger in your giving. That's why when that butler, when the Holy Spirit says to me, give to that butler, what he was really saying was, okay, you stretch yourself to believe me for an extra income stream by putting 12,000 rand on the altar, but will you be obedient in this little thing and just give 200 rand away to this guy who's polishing the elevator? Hello, somebody. The first thing you do with your money is recognize the portion that's sacred. I would say the first three are 10, 10, and 10. 10% dedicated to sacred, bring it back to the house of God because it's God's, it belongs to Him. The next 10% is seed. That's what you give over and above to maximize your harvest potential. The third portion is for saving. Now, in our modern world and where we live, if you're employed today, your boss is already putting basically 10% away for you on a regular basis. Every time you get paid, he's putting another 10% away on your behalf. He's paying the price for your saving called superannuation. Add to that the 10% you're putting away. In reality, you're going to get to the zone really quickly where you're now putting away 20% of your income. So actually, it's still fair. 20% is going to God, 20% is going to you, and then you've got 70% left. What are you going to do with the 70%? Well, it's your disposable income. Here's the problem we may have. Most of us just see 100% of our income as disposable. That's why we've got nothing left over at the end of the month. And so what's sacred is the tithe, what's seed is what you give, what you save you invest into your future, and what you spend, 70%, remains disposable income. Obviously, as your income increases, you have got to adjust those figures. And I would say this, if you are truly committed to becoming a sold-out kingdom financier, if you believe your deal, your call is in the marketplace for the rest of your life, you're looking at this and going, that's way too easy. I look at that and go, that's way too easy. The maths works. I know plenty of kingdom financiers that are looking, living at the 50% disposable income, and they're giving and they're sowing and doing everything else with everything, with the other 50%. The third portion of this would be you need to realize that you've got to learn more to earn more. Your university degree will get you the interview. What you've learned since university and applied in wisdom will keep you in your job and growing. EQ is much more important than IQ, but don't underestimate the power of IQ. When you went to university and you went through the hard yards and you got through to the end and you got that bachelor of that degree in that, whatever it was, it didn't so much teach you stuff, but it taught you how to think. It taught you to be a great thinker in that sense. But the degree will get you the interview, secure the position. But once you're in the position, doesn't mean you've made it. Now it's time to make that position by how much you are prepared to learn and grow along the way. You should be the absolute expert in your industry. To walk into this car yard the other day and walk up to the sales guy and say, how many kilometres, what year, how many litre? And my first two questions, he said, I'm sorry, I'm new here, I'll go check for you. He came back after and found, I had another question he couldn't answer. Let me go and ask my manager. I said, no, just send your manager to me. Why do I want to talk to you if you don't know your product? That's right. Yeah. That's right. Now, you might be that patient, kind, long-suffering person that wants to stay all there and maybe make a new friend out of this salesman, but I actually just want to do a deal. Walk up to the customer service counter, which is really oxymoron, because when you walk up there, you've got to interrupt the girl that's on the phone texting her friend. I know it doesn't happen to you, but it happens to me so often. I think, oh my God, Jesus, why are they? I actually say now, I'm really polite. I say, excuse me, I don't want to interrupt your social life, but you don't think I do it? You gotta know I do. But here's the deal. That's okay for people like that to do that. But do you want to prosper? Those four rivers in the Garden of Eden. One river breaking into four streams. It broke into four streams for a very good reason. God cannot provide all of his supply through one stream. If you want to experience God's paradise, you've got to know how to develop an extra income stream. And at the base level, it is that saving and investing zone where you get your money to work for you. You don't just go to work for money. Actually, I would say that we work for seed. When we sow the seed works for us. Number three. Learn more to earn more. Do you know that if you're going to be an expert in your field, anyone want to be an expert? Anyone, don't lift your hand in this next moment, even if you believe this. If you believe you are an expert in your field, there is a measurement for it. There's a very clear measurement for it. It's called 10,000 hours of training. 10,000 hours. Of training. Aviation engineer in our first service this morning. Worked for the first company for 10 years. He's now been with the second company 27 years. So he's 37 years in the industry. He's at the top of his game, about to go for 5 months straight of training. He's an expert. And the company says, we want to invest our next level of highest training for these new airliners we've got coming in to the guy who has committed himself to the highest level of training. Hello, somebody. We're going to give it to the expert who says that he will die with our company because he loves our company so much. You've got to know that if you're working in an industry today that you don't love, you don't enjoy, that you don't bounce out of bed Monday morning when it's flipping freezing cold and it's dark outside, you bounce out of bed and say, I can't get to work. What are you doing in that industry? Get in a career, get in a job where you're fired up to go to work. If you want to earn more, you need to learn more. You've got to know your product inside out. What is your product? Is your product people? Be nice. You really think your product is people when you don't like people? Do you really think your product is people when your personality is so unattractive? Do you really think people is your product and people is your industry? Where you don't know how to manage your own emotions. Do you really think people are your industry when you only get on with certain types of people instead of all types of people? We're talking about maximizing our money because you see, we've all got to accept this fact. The primary channel of supply that God uses to bless you is your job, your career, your business. You can't afford to neglect your job. You can't afford to neglect your skill base, your skill set. You can't afford to stop upskilling and transforming yourself and reinventing yourself. Years ago, you only had to reinvent yourself every 3 to 5 years. Now you've got to reinvent yourself somewhere between 9 and 12 months. Every 9 to 12 months, you've got to reinvent yourself. You've got to re-educate yourself. You've got to upskill. You've got to come up to date with the latest technology and the latest ways of doing things. Otherwise, you will fall behind the line. Observe people who are good at their work. Skilled workers are always in demand and admired. I love that. Observe people who are good at their work. Skilled workers are always in demand and admired. They don't take a back seat to anyone. Financial success is not a matter of chance, it's a matter of choice. To reign in life means to literally exercise kingly power, to have influence, to be able to change an environment, an atmosphere, an organization. Wisdom is the main ingredient of the kingly anointing. If you really want to grow in this thing called influence, if you really want to grow in this thing called kingly anointing, you've got to be seeking God for wisdom. Python, I'm going to keep going over this and over this and over this for the next 6 weeks until half of you start rolling your eyes and saying this again. Because remember, revelation, which is the most powerful resource that we have, comes into our life to bring about an impartation of the grace of God. That impartation will produce transformation in your thinking. Once you get your transformation in your thinking, you'll get your manifestation in your life, which is your reality. And you can't skip the process. You've got to grab a hold of revelation and allow it to change the way you think. So many people think they can relocate themselves geographically and change their life on the inside. It will not happen. Pison, the first river, is a place called increase. The second river, Gion, is called bursting forth. We've got to know how to handle the increase of God before we move forward to the bursting forth of God. God does want to burst forth on your life with his provision, but you've got to know how to manage the first level, which is increase. When your outgoings exceed your income, the upkeep is the downfall. So we've all got to know how to harness the beast called want. And every organization on the planet is designed to scratch you at the point of temptation. I laugh when those letters come from the bank. Such a valued customer. We want to up your credit card to $50,000. Yeah, up your credit card too. My credit card limit. What they're trying to do is increase their revenue because they know if they can get me in a bind and get me to slip up once and max that thing out and take another 2 or 3 years to pay it off at 14% interest, hello somebody, they know they've just increased their income revenue. Hello. Cut the thing up. It's the best way to use it. I have them, but pay them every month. Yeah. Oh, but I get the points. You're paying so much money for those points. Let me tell you, it'll be cheaper for you to pay the most expensive airfare than to get points on your card. I know this is helping so many people. Let me deal with the elephant in the room. so many people will not take on what I'm teaching tonight beyond the first level. In fact, most people will be challenged just to grab the first level, because to grab the first level, you've got to own your world. Maturity does not come with time. It comes with the acceptance of responsibility. But there are people that so have a vision on the inside, a revelation that God has called them as a king, and you'll begin to confront and make the changes, and you will increase in the anointing, and you'll go from a place of increase to bursting forth, from bursting forth to rapid, and from rapid to fruitful. It's the four stages of God in prosperity. Everyone is called to the first stage. You need to save. Saving is the seed of its own success. If you don't save, the seed of success is not in you. When you invest, it's the only way to get your money to work for you. You need to learn how to create wealth. In fact, you really don't need to learn how to create wealth. You need to know that your DNA has wealth creation on the inside of it. Say this, okay, this is a little bit different. Say this with me tonight. I am a wealth creation expert. I create wealth. I'm a money magnet. I attract money into my world. Whatever I respect comes to me. What I disrespect is repelled. You've got to know you got to know that you're not trying to make a name for yourself. I wish someone had told me this a long time ago, because I spent, I don't know, maybe the first 30 years of my life trying to make a name for myself. You are not in your industry, in your career, to make a name for yourself. You already have a name. You're a king's kid. And you're a king and a priest in the kingdom of God. Your identity has already been secured by Jesus. You're a landlord. But I don't own any property yet. You soon will. I'm just going to encourage myself in the Lord, because I know. Let's deal with the elephant in the room. We're in a blue-collar area. We're in a place called Port Kennedy, which literally means ugly head. It's the spirit that try and sits over the atmosphere to try and give us a bad identity, to give us a low self-esteem. This ain't no flipping ugly head looking at you tonight, regardless of your opinions. I'm one of God's masterpieces. Somebody said I look good in this pullover. I said, what do you expect? No, seriously. I'm trying to give you a bit of an attitude that will take you forward in life, because you've got to know that you are a king. You're not no ugly head. You're not no accident that happened. God doesn't have accidents in the kingdom. Your parents might not have planned you, but God planned you from the formation of the earth. Hello, somebody. You haven't been made a little lower than the monkeys, a little higher than monkeys. You're not made a little higher than monkeys. You're made just a little lower than God. Come on, pick up your thoughts. Find out where you are. Grab a hold of your identity. Get the revelation of who you are, so that when you're facing that challenge, when you're facing that problem on Thursday afternoon and you think you don't have what it takes, you have what it takes. You can rule. You can reign. You can exercise authority over that thing. You can find the solution. You've got to know, a boss cannot pay you enough if you're a problem solver. But if all you do is create problems, your days are numbered. In fact, I would finish you up this afternoon if you're a problem creator. If you don't have a positive effect on your boss the moment you walk into his office, you're not going to be on that team very long. True. David was faithful in the natural things. Just get out of bed earlier. I know you wear a high-vis, but you don't have to wear a wrinkly, dirty high-vis to work. I know you work in a workshop, but you can still shower, put on deodorant, and brush your teeth. You do not have to use the passenger seat as your mobile trash can. I'm talking about faithful in the natural things. When was the last time your work vehicle got a complete makeover? Inside and out. Oh, but it's a company car. That's my point. Be faithful with what's another man's and then God might give you your own. Close your eyes. Think about the fact that you still love your pastor. Let me pray for you. Father, tonight I want to thank you that there's no such thing as soft, mamby-pamby in a kingdom of kings and priests. Priests offer sacrifice, lead in worship, serve in the temple. Kings subdue kingdoms, gather resources, slay giants, defeat armies. I thank you, God, that you have brought us to a place where we are ready to take territory because we realize that at the end of the day, what's up for dispute is rulership, ownership. Who owns the land? And God, you said that the righteous will inherit the earth. So God, I'm praying for the young generation that are getting a head start. On some of us that are already way down the track, I'm praying that they just wouldn't hear this as some inspirational message, but that intentionally grab hold of the truth and begin to apply it. God, for those that are in my generation that missed out on the teaching or didn't respond the way that we should have and now see ourselves a little bit behind the eight ball, I'm praying, God, for a favor that would come upon us. You said these are the days when we would experience wealth transfer, where the wealth of the wicked would be laid up for the just. God, just as David inquired of the reward, let us be the kind of people that would inquire, what is the reward for slaying this giant? Help us move to the place where we can be faithful in relationship. We do understand, God, that the higher you go in relationship, the thinner the air is. There's less room for mistakes, less room for small talk, much more room for offense. God, I pray that we'd be the kind of people that would be robust in relationships. In Jesus' name. Amen. Helpful? Could I ask you to stand to your feet? Next week's going to be so unique when we start to look at Mount Hebron and what it takes to qualify for basically the final zone of the anointing, which is anointed as king over an entire nation. I do believe that God wants to anoint you over a nation. And what that means, he wants to give you ultimate rulership over a group. It could be reaching mums with kids. It could be reaching Pacific Islanders. It could be reaching business people. Put on it whatever you have stirring in your heart, but God wants to give you that nation. It could be the hospitality industry. It could be the entertainment world. It could be any zone that you choose, but God wants to raise you up to king. He really does. It's going to be challenging. I think that over the last few months, the Lord has set us up. The series on No Filter just brought it to a whole new level of just blah, blah, blah. Tonight, I flowed out at a whole new level of, if you want to go there, this is what you got to do. If you're not keen on going there, then what you're going to get over the next 6 weeks as a minimum is you're going to know how to maximize the money that you've got and what you're prepared to do as an employee and live the absolute best life possible you can on that level. You won't be making critical mistakes where you bankrupt yourself before you get started. Make the mistakes I made with my wife and my family that took me 10 years to correct. I'm trying to help you avoid those things. And if you're already there, we're going to give you some smart, wise, cunning ways to get out of that stuff fast instead of taking 10 years. I should not have taken 10 years. I could have solved the problem in 3. I just needed a coach. I just needed someone who cared enough. But in this moment, I'm recognizing the fact that when it comes to salvation, God uses a financial term. He says, I have called you. I have redeemed you. I've called you by name. I have redeemed you. The word redeem is to pay in advance full price for your ransom.
This is the end of the podcast. For more information about C3 Rockingham, please visit www.c3r.org.au or call us on 9524 5055.